Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. We begin as usual with our announcements. You can see that Wednesday is our Bible study at 10:30 here, Season 2, Episode 2 of The Chosen. And who has a birthday or an anniversary in March? Anyone? Nobody willing to fess up, huh? I was going to say, there are snacks in the back. Whether it's your birthday or not, you can have one and enjoy.
My son and will be 53 tomorrow.
Your son will be 53 tomorrow. You can't have a 53-year-old son. You're much too young.
I wish I could say that.
Take the compliment where you can get them. You know, it's... Any other announcements? But there's nobody to sing it to.
But doesn't matter. You still have to sing it.
There's some listed in the book. Kelly.
Yeah, but if they're not here, they don't count.
Church.
If you want to have your birthday song sung to you, you have to be here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And no one ever says, and many more.
I have a few. Kelly called me this morning. The newsletters are not in your mailbox because her printer broke. She's having that repaired, and she'll have them fixed and put in the mailbox for next Sunday. That anybody that got them.
The newsletter's out on the website if you want to take a look at it.
Yeah, it's on the website and she emails it. So if you get it that way, it's there. But the ones that get it in their mailbox, that's why. Easter pie orders back there. We have two more Sundays. We can take orders if anybody's interested. The papers are on the back for the fire company. And I'd like to thank everybody for your prayers. Cards and concerns, I'm glad to be back, and visits, so I would like to say thank you and appreciate that as well. And Pat, thank you for your fill-in last week.
Are you back to work now?
I am.
They couldn't keep you away.
No, actually the doctor told me on Sunday, he said if you want to go back on Monday, go at it. Oh. But I went Wednesday.
Good for you.
Great to have you back.
Yeah. Pastor Ed, don't forget there's a little container back there for donations for the community egg hunt, which Mount Tabor Church holds it every year. So I don't know when Kelly's collecting it, but it's back there on the back bench. You want to slip a little bit in to help the donations for the community egg hunt.
Okay. Anyone else? Call to worship this morning is from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Lord, we have gathered together your flock in this place. We acknowledge you as our shepherd, as our Lord, as our master. And we invite your presence here through the Holy Spirit to receive worship, praise, adoration, and glory. And we also invite you here to feed your sheep, to point them in the direction you want them to go, to be our shepherd, the one who keeps us in the straight path. So be present with us as we worship you today. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's stand together and sing number 428. I can't sing that hymn without thinking of an old preacher joke I heard. And preachers are like lawyers and doctors. They save jokes about their particular profession. You know, there's doctor jokes and there's lawyer jokes. There's preacher jokes. And this preacher was going to have a children's story, and so he had the children come up and he was going to talk to them. His point in mind was to tell them that when we look at Jesus, we see God. You know, we see God personified on the earth. And so he started by saying to the children, "Now, can any of you tell me what God's name is?" Bless you, Ralph.
Thank you.
And it isn't Ralph. Can any of you children tell me what God's name is? And the children, one by one, go, "No, no, no." And this little boy throws up his hand and says, "I know." And the preacher says, "What is it, Johnny?" And Johnny says, "Well, Pastor, God's first name is Andy." "Andy? Where'd you get that?" "Well, we just sang it. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I am his own." Hey, you know, they're not all good friends. It's preacher jokes. What do you want? From the ridiculous to the serious. What do we want to pray? Who and what do we want to pray for? We want to continue to pray for Danny and for Kathy. And who else and what else do we want to pray for?
Pray for safe travels for Wanda. She left on a cruise this morning. Pray for safe travels for Alice. She returns this week from her cruise.
There's a theme going on here.
And I'd like to put our grandson, Anthony, who lives in Kentucky. I got a message from his mom yesterday. He's in Owensboro Regional Health Hospital. He had his appendix rupture, and he has a blockage, a valve blockage, which they think caused the appendix to rupture, but he's taking tests and they're going to do surgeries and keep him lifted in.
Anthony. Others?
I want to continue on. Our neighbor over here, Matt Moser, and keep our family on the prayer list, the Baker family, and Travis, and Ben Ogle, and Teresa Ogle.
I think we need to continue to pray for Joanne and her family with the passing of Loretta.
And let us pray for our government and its leaders. I guess I'm just old style, but so many things are happening that just doesn't seem to be right. I think they need help with their many decisions.
Tracy.
Continue to keep all those in prayer that have been having issues health-wise and other devices, such as Jerry and Bob, Pat, and Doris, etc., and any others that we're not aware of.
And Kathy and Danny.
I said that. Turn your hearing aid up.
Continue thank you.
Go ahead, Tracy.
I just appreciate prayers helping you preach next Sunday at Roastickle.
Okay. I have no idea where Grossnickel is.
Near Wolfsville, between Wolfsville and Byersville, back down along the river, back in the country.
Where is Wolfsville, you say?
All I knew about Grossnickel was when I was in Southern Pennsylvania District, some Grossnickel people sat on the meat canning committee, and I knew a couple of them from there. But yeah, where's Wolfsville? You nailed that one right on the head. As long as you know where it is, so that you're there on time.
And there's the time change.
Yes, the time change next week.
Oh, that's right. You get to lose an hour of sleep next weekend. Aren't you excited?
Donnie and Nancy in our prayers too.
Yep. Don't worry, I'll find something that'll help you to get your sleep next Sunday. Any others?
Keep our church and all churches.
Doris, how are you doing? Good. Are you listening to when they tell you what to do?
Not really.
At least she's honest.
Well, you know, they tell you in seminary, if you don't want to hear the answer, don't ask the question.
And another thing, we're just grateful and give the Lord praise for you and your services here with us and your friendship and your ministry and all who have come out. We got some other visitors with us today, and we're gratified to have them with us as well. We just thank all the work and memory for coming each and every Sunday and support this God's house.
Now, while we're at it, I have decided that I am going to issue a pastoral order that you must obey. Every one of you. Nobody's allowed to die in March. I did 5 funerals in February. I've had enough. Okay? Everybody is going to be healthy in March. Do you hear and obey? Good.
Amen.
Good. It's always the one in the back row. You know? It's always the ones in the back row. She's waving at me now. You know, Doris, you remind me of a Ray Stevens song. Ray Stevens used to sing a song called God's Going to Get You for That. I don't know if you remember. Okay. All right. Enough frivolity. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that as we've come through a season of sadness and struggle, we are still able to laugh and to enjoy each other's company and to enjoy being with you. Thank you that our worship means so much to us, that we gather with those of like mind and heart. And Lord, things are not always sunshiny. Sometimes there are clouds and rain along the path. We know that. And we do pray for those who are grieving and sorrowing today. We think of our sister Faye, and we think of Joanne and family, and we think of others, Lord, who are grieving, of those who are struggling with physical limitations, of some, Lord, who may be feeling like the sun will never shine on their life again. Father, I pray that the light of the world, your Son, Jesus Christ, might break through their gloom and shine the light into their lives that they so desperately need. We pray for those who are traveling. We pray for those who are returning from travels. We pray for those who are under doctors' cares, and some who are going to see doctors, and some who have questions. And Lord, we're grateful that you know our bodies and you are able to bring us through no matter what doctors may say. We trust each one in your care. We thank you for the evidence of healing that we've seen among us. And we thank you for the intervention that you're going to do in the lives of Ron and Anthony and Kathy and Danny and others. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you never disappoint us. We thank you that you are always good. Sometimes, Lord, we forget how kind you are and merciful to us. Forgive us when we take you for granted. Lord, we do love you. We love you with our hearts, our souls, and our spirits. And may our lives continue to bear fruit that shows that we love you. Hear and answer our prayers now, Lord, as we close our prayer with the prayer that you gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's sing number 387. Stand if you're able. The scripture text this morning comes from Mark chapter 6, and it covers 14 verses, and I'm not going to read them to you. I'm going to trust you that you either already have read them or you will read them when you go home today. And the message this morning is called Pitas and Sardines. Pitas and Sardines. Everybody knows what a sardine is, right? What's a pita? Okay, you know what it looks like? Flatbread. Okay, very good. Switch gears this morning a little bit. Think back ever so long ago, or maybe it wasn't quite so long ago for some of us. Think back to your high school days or your middle school days. Did you ever run into that thing called a pop quiz? How many people love pop quizzes? What was the major purpose of a pop quiz? To see if you were learning anything. See if you've been paying attention. So it was a surprise. Pull out your notebooks and your pencils. We're going to have a pop quiz today on geography. Or mathematics, or geometry, or something. You know, you were in the class. Usually it happened in the classes you liked the least. That was the one that that was my experience anyway in high school. I used to hate my geometry teacher. And I still have never used geometry. 52 years later after graduating from high school. So, I don't know why they made me do it. I could have taken another English class or history class.
It made you a well-rounded
individual. No, it didn't. My wife's cooking may be a well-rounded individual. No. The geometry teacher did tell us one day, it's supposed to help you think. It's supposed to help you think logically. I guess I failed. Anyway, I passed geometry. But pop quizzes were designed to find out what you were actually learning about the subject. They're also designed to tell the teacher what it is that you didn't know. That maybe they weren't hitting it hard enough so that they could teach you better. They didn't give pop quizzes just to torment you, no matter how you felt at 14 or 15. This morning's text, Jesus is going to pull a pop quiz on the disciples. Because earlier in chapter 6, Jesus has sent the 12 out by themselves, preaching into the towns and villages and telling them, it's time to repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus sends them out, and everything works. They're astonished. They do miracles. They do wonders. People listen. And they finally come back to Jesus. And he said, you won't believe it, Master. All the stuff that you told us would happen, happened. People responded. We went out in your name. We preached the gospel. We cast out demons. We healed the sick. It was great. It was terrific. How many of us ever went to summer camp as a kid? Ever go to summer camp? Or you went on a retreat somewhere as an adult for a weekend? I remember summer camp. Kids would sing. We had a 2-hour bus ride to get back from the camp to where we lived. And kids would sing the whole time home on the bus because we were all excited. We had that spiritual high from being at summer camp, like we could get a spiritual high from being at a powerful retreat or a powerful set of messages. And the disciples have a real buzz going. But there's a problem, of course. Ministry takes energy. Ministry takes energy. Right, Tracy? Yeah. Ministry takes it out of people who are involved in ministry, of all kinds of ministries, not just pastors, but others too, who are, have experienced being in a place where they're helping to serve others, where they're serving the Lord, and after a while, it takes something out of you, and you must come aside. Just as Jesus did regularly, he would retreat from the disciples and other people, and he would go off to pray. Well, Jesus sees that his disciples are tired and weary. And he says, okay, right now, we're with people 24/7, 365. There's always somebody around us. Somebody wants something. Somebody wants to be healed. Somebody wants to get saved. Somebody wants to know this. Somebody wants to know that. Let's take time to retreat and pull away. It's a good thing for Christians to do that. You don't have to be in ministry to take a time of retreat. But Jesus says, the only way for us to have a time of retreat where nobody can get at us is to get in a boat. And so they get in a boat. And they row out in the lake. Now there's a problem with the Sea of Galilee. It's just a big lake. And people can see pretty much where you are. And so the people on the shore who were wanting to be with Jesus, who wanted something from Jesus, who wanted to see Jesus, who wanted to hear Jesus, they could look out and see which way are they headed. And some would say, well, we think we're headed over here about to this port over here 5 miles east, or this port 5 miles to the south. And the people ran ahead. They were going to be there wherever Jesus decided to land. Meanwhile, Jesus is in a boat, a large boat. They're all out there, and he's having time with his disciples. He's having them alone. Now, wouldn't it be nice to be alone with Jesus? Not that we don't do that every day, but alone like they were. There were no distractions. All there was the water and the boat and his voice. And as they get closer to land, they see the crowds waiting for them. A large crowd that's filled with sick and sinful and helpless people is waiting for them. And Jesus is full of compassion for them. He responds to them like a shepherd gathers in lost sheep. You and I don't really understand what it was like for the people in Galilee. The religious people, the religious professionals, were not paying attention to them because they were way up north. And that was, they were in constant contact with Gentiles. And to be in contact with Gentiles would have made some of the religious professionals unclean. And they didn't want to be unclean. So they just let those old, dirty Galileans be old, dirty Galileans and let them be sinners and hardly ever fed them anything. And these people were desperate. They were desperate for God. They were desperate for life. They were desperate for hope. And thus, when Jesus came among them, it's no wonder that there were people by the hundreds, even the thousands. So in verses 35 through 44, while Jesus is teaching and ministering to all these people who were waiting, I wouldn't be surprised if the disciples who were off to the side were thinking to themselves, huh, some rest and retreat this is. We're so busy, we don't even have time to sit down. We don't even have time to grab a sandwich. We're tired, Lord. You ever told the Lord you're tired? Good. You should tell him when you're tired. You should tell him when you think you've had about all up to here, Lord. because he knows how to take the pressure off. And along about 3 o'clock, according to the way the Greek text is written, the disciples came to the Lord and said, "You know, Lord, it's time for you to send these people away because we're out here in the middle of the boondocks." They call it an isolated place. "But it's time to send everybody away before supper so they can go out to the surrounding farms and homes and hopefully they'll be able to get something to eat." Remember, there were no McDonald's. There were no Arby's. There was no Rockies. You know, there was nothing like that at all. If you hadn't brought your lunch or supper, what were you going to do? You're going to go hungry, right? And you couldn't go to the Holiday Inn. You couldn't even go to Motel 6. There was nowhere to go. If you had nowhere to go, where were you going to sleep? On the ground. So the disciples said, "Look, these people are going to need extra time. This place is out of the way. You better send them now." The way the disciples were looking at the world, that was good advice. But was it compassionate? Probably not. Because most of the crowd would have spent a night on the ground and maybe the next morning without getting anything to eat. And because whole families came, not just men, but whole families came, who was going to have crying children before too long? Because their bellies were empty. To the disciples' point of view, this was a very reasonable conclusion. But it wasn't the only conclusion, and now Jesus decides to give them a quiz. He says to them, "Okay, I hear you. You're probably right. But I have a different idea. There are 12 of you. You give them something to eat." And I can just see the 12 looking at each other. "What? We're out here in the boondocks. We don't even have any Quaker oats. I mean, we can't do anything." It was an order. Jesus did not suggest it to them. It was a flat-out order. He said, "You feed them." And wouldn't that just ruin your day? And the disciples are flabbergasted. And one of them says, "Lord, we can't feed these people. It would take 8 months' wages to feed them all, for everyone just to have a piece of pita bread, let alone a whole meal. We don't have that kind of money. And if we did have that kind of money, where would we get the bread? Come on, Jesus, get real. We can't feed these people. It's not possible, Lord." So, have they passed or flunked the first part of the pop quiz? They flunked. Badly. They're operating by sight, not by faith. They have just been successful missionaries, but they've forgotten everything they've learned. So the Lord says, "Okay, tell you what. You go out into the crowd and you find somebody who has some food that's willing to share. Check them all out, find out what you can." Now, John 6 tells us that Andrew finally finds a little boy who still has his lunch. And what's in his lunch? 5 pieces of pita bread and 2 sardines. Actually, weren't even sardines packed in oil. They were dried fish. It wasn't Wonder Bread in a loaf. It was flatbread, maybe about that size. 5 of them. 5 pieces of flatbread, 2 sardines. And Andrew says, "Well, Lord, this boy has something he's willing to share." And the scripture doesn't record it, but I'm pretty sure Andrew thought if he didn't say it out loud. But it sure ain't enough. Many of us have had the experience when we were younger, that we ran out of money before we ran out of month. You know? We ran out of money before we ran out of month. And we didn't know how the ends were going to be met. And Jesus looks at them and he says, okay, that's what we got. I want you to take these people and tell them to arrange themselves in the ground. Now, biblical archaeologists have found that at meals and feasts in this time, people would sit in a big U shape like this. So there'd be an opening at the top where the servants would come in and feed everybody around the circle, and everybody would sit on the outside of the U. So Jesus has them sit down in this U shape on the grass. Mark tells us they sat down on the green grass, which means that spring was when this happened, because the grass hadn't dried up yet. And when you read the text in the Greek, it's actually kind of interesting, particularly for those of you who are gardeners, because it said that they were ordered in ranks. They sat in ranks. And it was a Greek phrase, prosai, which means ordered like plants in a garden. Now, when you plant a garden, you plant things in rows, right? And you don't plant tomatoes with carrots. And you don't plant beets with Brussels sprouts. Although why you're planting Brussels sprouts is another question. But everything is in its own kind. It's in its own row. It's all well ordered. And Peter, as he's recalling this and saying the words to John Mark, he says, they looked just like a well-ordered garden. Everybody was neat in rows along their shapes. And after everyone is seated and everyone's ready, Jesus looks toward heaven, prays for the food, and he begins to hand out the food to the disciples to distribute. You are disciple number 6. And you know there are 5 loaves of bread, right? What are you thinking as you move up the line? Is there going to be any bread for you to hand out? No. And if you were disciple number 3 who was handing out the fish, you're number 3, you're thinking, okay, my day, this is a short day for me. Because I got nothing to do. There's nothing to hand out. And lo and behold, Jesus keeps handing out the bread and the fish, and 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 the bread and the fish. And the disciples are going, do you see what he's doing? You see this? And everybody in the crowd starts to eat. And the scripture says they eat until they're full. They didn't just get a snack. They didn't just get a taste. The disciples went around and continued to take seconds and to some of the big eaters to thirds. And finally, everybody was full. Now, nothing went to waste in Jewish society. Remember how Ruth met Boaz way back thousands of years before? What was she doing in the field? She was gleaning what fell from the harvesters. Jesus sends the 12, boys, here are some baskets. Go glean the leftovers. How many of you right now have something left over in your refrigerator? They didn't have refrigerators. But Jesus sent them out, go pick up the leftovers so that we can distribute them to the poor or to whoever needs it. Or maybe we'll have some of this ourselves because you've been pretty busy. Now, what's left over from sardines? I don't know. But I can understand what's left over from bread. And they went around, and each one took a basket, and they went into the field where everybody had eaten, and each one picked up a basket full of leftovers. Now, had Jesus provided what was needed? Over abundantly provided what was needed. And after they had picked up the leftovers, somebody thought, hey, we need to file a report with district headquarters. How many people were here? How many people were here? 5,000 men. Say that louder.
Plus women and children.
No, I mean louder.
Plus women and children.
Okay. So that's 5,000 men. It's reasonable to assume that almost all of them were married. It's also reasonable to assume that they had at least one or probably two children with them. So how many do we get? 10,000? 11,000? 12,000? How can two sardines and five pieces of pita bread feed 11,000 people? And nobody seems to think that this is remarkable. The disciples don't seem to comment on it. So that's the second part of the pop quiz. Do they pass or fail? They fail. They flunk again. You say, what? Why? Remember that Jesus was the anticipated Messiah. And the rabbis had taught that Messiah would do many of the same things that Moses had done during his ministry. And how were they fed in the desert for 40 years? Do you remember? They went out every morning and picked up manna. Somewhere along this way from the centuries, they had forgotten that it wasn't Moses who gave them the manna, but it was God. But they had given Moses credit for feeding them every day for 40 years. And here is Jesus greater than Moses. And nobody's paying attention. No one, even the most intimate followers, see what it is he's done. That he's greater than Moses. And if the 12 could miss it, and they clearly did, how easy is it for you and I to miss what God's doing in our lives? How many times has something good happened to us, something unexpected, but that was necessary? And we said, boy, that sure was a piece of good luck. Sure was good fortune. We miss it when the shepherd is providing for us. How often do you and I take our God's actions for granted? We'll pick on Jerry. Jerry takes an ambulance ride he didn't want to take. I'm fine. I can drive to the hospital, I'll bet you said. And the nurse says, you'll do no such thing. You're going to the hospital. And the word gets around that Jerry's sick. And they put him in cardiac care. And they're watching him pretty good. And the church prays. And the word spreads and more people pray. And 9 days after he comes home, he's playing music again at the church. And everybody says, well, that's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be. God has intervened in our brother's life. And we're taking it for granted. We can't take it for granted. Because we're failing. We're failing the same quiz. You know how many people are here today? I can count you all because I'm
30.
A 20. What?
30.
28. You realize that over the last few months we have continually, slowly crept upward in our attendance. Most of the time we're right on 30. Are we giving God the credit for what he's doing? Or are we just taking it for granted? And you're all giving me that, Pastor Ed, how can you possibly say we're taking this for granted? Look, are we? Because it's easy to do. Yeah, I'm the one who counts. I count heads every Sunday. And I go home and I write it down in a little booklet that I have to track our attendance. I got into that habit years ago. God is at work here in Rocky Ridge, but we're not acknowledging it. We have to give him credit. Is it vast and spectacular? Are people lining up to get into here? Do people start coming to church at 7:30 to make sure that they can get inside to get a seat? Right now, no. But people are coming. People are being restored, renewed. God is being glorified. We need to wake up. We need to be grateful. We don't want to fail a quiz. Now, fortunately, there are no penalties for failing this particular quiz outside of embarrassment, outside of, oh, you're right, we haven't been doing this, but that's not what we want to do. That's not the people we want to be. Jesus did not discard the disciples just because they failed a quiz. Jesus will not discard the people of Rocky Ridge just because they're failing a quiz at this moment. But we need to pay attention. I had to pay attention not to flunk geometry. I got a C. Everybody forgets that C's and D's get degrees. We need to pay attention so that we can give honor and glory to God in our everyday life and not fail the quiz. Let's pray. Lord, it's good for us every now and then to be given a dose of correction, a dose of, are you paying attention? A dose of, are you grateful? And maybe, Lord, we assumed too much and we forgot to give you thanks. But you are continuing to be good to us, your people in this place. And we give you thanks for what you are doing and for what you will do. You gave us a quiz from your word this morning to help us to wake up, to make sure that we keep learning, keep growing, keep serving. Help us to take the lesson to heart. Thank you that we are still walking with you. You have not turned us away from the group. Instead, you are inviting us to draw even nearer and even closer so that we can hear you better and follow you more closely. Forgive us. Use us. Let your name be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing number 487 and stand if you're able. Lord, your people now leave into the world of service which you have laid before us. At school, at work, wherever we may be, let us be your light, your hands, your feet, everything that you need us to be for the sake of your kingdom and to the glory of your name, we pray. Guide your sheep in the great name of our shepherd. And now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit be with you now and every day. Amen.
Praise God.